This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV nationwide. Listen to it as well on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. A poll by Politico and Morning Consult recently found 60% of support among the public for the Federal Communications Commission's existing rules on net neutrality. The Obama-era rules were put in place after years of campaigning by grassroots activists who wanted to prevent the internet from becoming a corporatized space. But Donald Trump's new FCC chair, Ajit Pai, wants to do away with the rules that currently restrain major internet service providers like Comcast, Time Warner, and AT&T from upending net neutrality. Across the political spectrum, advocacy groups, content creators, and even major online websites like Twitter, Amazon, Netflix, Reddit, Vimeo, and Etsy are converging on a day of action next Wednesday, the 12th of July, to protest Ajit Pai's plan to end net neutrality. On that day, thousands of websites will display messages urging their users to send letters and comments supporting net neutrality. The online action may break the previous record of internet activism in 2012 against two bills called SOPA and PIPA. My guest is Leila Abdelaziz. She is the 2017 Kairos Fellow and a campaigner with Fight for the Future. Welcome to the program, Leila.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, I always like to begin these stories with a brief description of net neutrality. It's an obscure, technical-sounding term for the uninitiated. How do you spell it out in a nutshell, what net neutrality is and why it's important to preserve it?
Absolutely. I think that it is a complicated term, but I think that the easiest way to characterize it for people is to say that net neutrality is the First Amendment of the internet. It protects our free speech in the digital age, and it keeps internet users in control of their information and their data, and keeps big cable companies and phone companies from controlling what we can see and do online.
So basically, these internet service providers aren't just sort of neutral players in providing internet service. They are interested in dominating the internet with their content, their profit-making ventures, right?
Yeah, I would say they're primarily interested in their profit margins.
And so what they would like to do is not be restrained by existing rules to keep the internet a space where anybody has a shot of carving out their own space. So they would like to throttle websites and traffic and bandwidth to websites that they don't like and favor ones that they do like, which of course would be a huge problem for, you know, most of the people who create content and who rely on the internet today, right?
Absolutely. I think that these handful of cable companies that kind of have a monopoly on traditional media see an opportunity to make even more profit if they could, for example, allow paid prioritization online, if they could pit internet users and internet content creators against one another and allow people an audience if they have the money to pay for an audience. But that would absolutely just interrupt and disrupt and prevent the innovation and the freedom and the creativity that the internet allows for today.
And I mean, there are some companies that already try to do those sorts of things. For example, Facebook today makes you pay to have a bigger audience, whereas it used to be if people simply liked your page, they would see your content. Now you have to actually pay Facebook to have them see the content that they do want to see. And so that's even a small taste of the kind of thing that could happen across the internet if Mr. Ajit Pai has his way. What is Mr. Pai basing his justification on to end net neutrality? He has claimed to be a supporter of net neutrality in the past, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think that this is where the doublespeak really comes in. I think that the people, you know, Chairman Ajit Pai used to be a Verizon lawyer, and before releasing his plan to kill the net neutrality rules, he was meeting with the heads of the cable industry that now he's now representing as the chairman of this independent agency. And he's citing a report and he's citing documentation that has now been revealed to be very faulty information. And I think that that's kind of the status quo on this issue right now.
Right. So let's talk about that. He is citing a paper to justify rolling back net neutrality that was published in the International Journal for Communication that has been debunked by others as basically being a paper that was written by industry representatives, right? Is this the only paper that he's citing? And what's the problems with it?
It's the primary paper that he's citing. And, you know, net neutrality is a nonpartisan issue. As you said, the majority of registered voters polled on this issue, even by the industry's lobby itself, show that the overwhelming majority of Americans support net neutrality and support equal access to information online. And so Ajit Pai is citing this research that has now been shown to be funded by the internet service provider industry. And that's kind of what we see right now with this debate, is that those that are advocating for the repeal of net neutrality rules oftentimes end up one way or another being funded by the internet service providers.
And he himself is a representative of the revolving door between industry and government, as you cited him being a Verizon lawyer in a previous life. So let's talk about what he wants to essentially undo the Obama era rules that currently constrain these ISPs. Is there a current public comment period right now? What's the sort of process by which he could realize his goal?
Right. So he has initiated a rules changing process at the Federal Communications Commission. And the first deadline for the public to submit a comment on this rules changing process is coming up very soon. It's July 17th. It'll be just a few days after our internet-wide Day of Action to Save Net Neutrality on July 12th, which is less than a week away. We're really looking forward to it. And then the public will have an option to respond to those comments. The FCC will have an opportunity to respond, and that deadline will be August 16th.
So, of course, all of this is happening partially because Congress hasn't taken action, and we can talk about that later. Let's talk about July 12th, this massive day of action. We've seen these kinds of actions in the past. I mentioned SOPA and PIPA, where you had, you know, huge internet websites alongside myriad grassroots online presences essentially blackout their pages or have a splash page. That this was about 5 years ago that spoke out against these bills in Congress that would have really undermined internet freedom. Is that a model for what you are planning, you and others are planning next Wednesday?
Yeah, absolutely. We're bringing together some of the largest tech companies, some really, you know, and it's not just about the large tech companies. I think the power of the internet and the power of an idea on the internet is that if people support the values of that idea, if people are behind the principles of this idea, it has the opportunity to reach all corners of the internet. And so we're bringing together the smallest and largest sites online to educate the public about what net neutrality is and what we all are at risk of losing if these net neutrality rules are repealed. You know, I didn't get to this earlier, but it's very important to mention, I think, that the ISPs, you have Comcast, you have Chairman Ajit Pai, you have Verizon saying that they support net neutrality rules while leading the campaign to kill net neutrality rules. They have a very small disclaimer to their argument. They say we support net neutrality while opposing Title II classification of internet service providers. And really what we've seen from the over decade-long grassroots activism, advocacy, campaigning, learning, talking about net neutrality and what is net neutrality and how do you define net neutrality within a US legal code that then can then be provided for internet users. Title II is the legal distinction that protects net neutrality protections for internet users. And so if you are trying to repeal the Title II classification of internet service providers, what you're doing is going after net neutrality rules.
And when you say Title II, it's basically how ISPs are classified, right? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The reason that the Federal Communications Commission can prevent Comcast and Verizon and AT&T from throttling, blocking, creating fast lanes on the internet, and you know, therefore slow lanes on the internet as well, is because the internet service providers have been deemed a public utility, and that is under the Title II classification of the Communications Act.
So tell us about how ordinary people can get involved next Wednesday. So presumably when they go to some of their favorite websites, they will have an easy opportunity to click on links and send letters to the FCC or to their elected officials.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, internet users that go to Twitter or Amazon or Netflix, Kickstarter, Etsy, Reddit, OkCupid, Mozilla, so many major tech companies will be alerting their users about the campaign. And so what that means is people will be redirected to battleforthenet.com to send a comment to the FCC and their members of Congress defending Title II net neutrality rules. If people are interested in learning about the Day of Action and joining the Day of Action and finding out ways to participate in the Day of Action themselves, they can visit battleforthenet.com/July 12. July 12th.
That's battleforthenet.com/July 12. Why are some of these big companies getting involved? I mean, Twitter, Amazon, don't they already, wouldn't they benefit from ending net neutrality because they already have such a massive market share?
They have a massive market share, but they also have a massive amount of users that recognize why the free and open internet is so important to the future of democracy, to the future of challenging totalitarianism, to the world that we're living in today. I think that also, you know, there is this idea within a lot of these companies that the reason these companies became successful, the reason these companies were able to prosper and develop and become what they are today while challenging traditional monopoly media companies, is because the internet is free and open, is because the minute you have a great idea and you place that great idea online, it has the ability to just reach millions of people if millions of people support you and are behind you.
How important is an issue is the is net neutrality to communities of color? I want to talk about that because we often seem to dismiss this as one that you know, that highly educated upper middle income Americans who have easy access to the internet, who are, you know, part of the digital revolution, that this issue is important to them alone. Is it important to everybody?
Well, unfortunately, the tech community is definitely dominated by straight, white, highly educated men. And there are concerns, and that definitely leads to real life problems. But organizations like Center for Media Justice and Color of Change are doing a phenomenal job explaining and talking about why net neutrality is a racial justice issue, and why net neutrality, and why, because of the principles of net neutrality, for example, the Black Lives Matter movement is able to circumvent the inability of traditional media to cover the stories and the trauma and the tragedies of these communities in our country today, and is able to communicate and organize and create mass movements around these ideas of protecting and defining their own communities' experiences. And you know, I'm Palestinian. I'm a Palestinian refugee living in the United States. I recognize the failures of society to give marginalized and disenfranchised communities access to large audiences. And for a lot of, I think, members of disenfranchised communities, the openness of the internet and these new social media channels and our ability to connect and stay in solidarity with one another in very important crisis moments has done a lot to empower us in the past decade.
And is that why, for example, the Women's March, among other grassroots organizations have endorsed this because we do rely on the internet to do mass organizing, education around, you know, Palestinian rights issues, for example, just wouldn't be as easy if we were forced to rely on the mainstream media narrative on those issues.
Absolutely. The internet gives disenfranchised and marginalized people a very safe, often, and protected space to connect with one another and learn from one another and empower one another to live in these challenging times. And so, yeah, the Women's March has joined Color of Change, Center for Media Justice, Free Press, Empower Change, representing the Muslim American perspective in this campaign. So we're really excited about the broad coalition for the Day of Action.
You know, there's so much at stake here. So can also people who particularly who are, you know, who create their own content, who might run their own website, small as it might be, even if they've got sort of a small but dedicated user base, also participate next week? Is it too late? Or where are the tools that they could get to put on their own splash page for the July 12th Day of Action and join these big groups as well?
You can get everything that you need at that website, battleforthenet.com/July12th. Everything from widgets to codes to social media, graphics, and signing up, you'll get even more access to support from our team to be ready for whatever it is that you want to do on the Day of Action.
And I should mention that there is an open letter to the FCC that hundreds of YouTube content creators have also put, have signed their names on. These are individuals that have, you know, millions or hundreds of thousands of subscribers to their YouTube channel, that they create content from the comfort of their home. This, the issue of net neutrality is important for them as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about that. The Internet Creators Guild has joined, and with the Internet Creators Guild, so many creative, amazing voices on YouTube that reach millions of people will also be fighting for net neutrality.
Again, give out that website for the Day of Action next Wednesday.
Absolutely. It's battleforthenet.com/July12th. But that's July 12th. J-U-L-Y-1-2.
And in the end, sort of ultimately, if this battle is won against the FCC, is there a larger move to have this long-term protection of net neutrality by getting Congress to pass legislation so that we don't have to depend on the next FCC chair, you know, being favorable to net neutrality?
Well, just as, you know, when for decades, activists and organizers and internet freedom voices were fighting for the strong net neutrality rules that we have now, I think a lot of people did not anticipate that we would get the strong protections that we do have. And so the plan is, of course, to preserve and safeguard these protections. And if we're able to achieve that, then we just, you know, we'll take it from there before we discuss congressional action.
Well, Leila, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to that website you mentioned from our site later today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest is Leila Abdulaziz. She's the 2017 Kairos Fellow and a campaigner with Fight for the Future. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.